And Paul did a brilliant job of kicking things off last week, is to bring us together. We've been away, busy, occupied over the course of the summer, and our desire has been over the last 2 weeks to just kind of calibrate us all on the same page and to get us together. And it's not a matter of all getting on the same page, because sometimes that's a little crowded, but in the best of ways, I kind of liken it to this. You know, when have you ever seen an orchestra tune up? And usually there's an oboe somewhere in the orchestra, and the oboe plays an A, I think, right? Or a violin, the first violin, and all the instruments tune to that one instrument. And it's just so that as they play with each other, they're attuned to each other, and the outcome of what they want to do in terms of playing this great symphony is complemented by them being attuned to each other. And in the same way, these 2 weeks are kind of intended to be like that. It's intended to bring us together and kind of attune together so we can catch up. And so Paul did a great job of kicking things off. And basically did a really good job of explaining kind of who we are in broad strokes. There's a lot of people here that, and some people here that may not know that much about who the Vineyard was, and so, or is. And so what we wanted to do was give some background, give some context to actually who we are. And so within that, Paul said was referencing a lot of really great material. There was a book, Vineyard DNA is actually what it was called. And basically, we were described as a global community, spiritual community with a common heritage and a set of values. And so part of Paul's goal last week was to kind of describe, well, what are some of those values that we operate with and that influence us today even for who we are as a Vineyard? And so some of those things were listed as worship. Worship's played an integral part in who we are as a Vineyard, shaping who we are, shaping how we gather and how we come together before the Lord, and it shapes our intimacy with Him. Mercy ministries was another major value that has been in throughout the Vineyard for the last 40, 50 years. And so that's how we engage with often what's described as the least, the lost, and the lonely, those who are on the fringe, those who are kind of relegated to the outer circle of society often. And then equipping the saints, equipping each other, seeing the church built up. And also within that is a real desire to see the kingdom of God manifest in our presence. And so all those things are great. There's certainly more than that. And if you have a chance, I'm not sure if Patty brought some of those books, but we have ordered some of those books, so if you're really interested, they'd be great to read, and we can even pass them around. So, Dave has one. Awesome. Yeah. So it's the Vineyard DNA. Looks like this. I think you can even get it on Amazon, but it's awesome. You can order it from Vineyard Resources. So that set the context for today. And basically, what I want to do is explain a little bit about how we got here And, you know, I thought this was classic because Minecraft is probably, well, it's the most popular video game in the world, has been, and came out in the early 2000s. And the rarest achievement in this game and the most difficult achievement in this game, when you completed it, that's the message that it would say to everybody. How did you get here? And that the challenge was complete. And sometimes I think, when I think about our history, I feel that way. I go, it's not that we're finished, it's not that things are complete, but we've had a real journey along the way. And yet, God has been so remarkably faithful and loving and gracious towards us in the process. And I want to read, this is for those of you, has anyone been to our new website? Okay, well, this is the front page of our new website. And on that website, and I'm not going to be able to read it, is basically in the About section, it's the second item on the menu, is a description about our history. And I just want to say that it's kind of a humbling act, honestly, to reflect back on our history, especially when you've been a part of it. And, you know, we get a glimpse, I think, in Revelation when John is prophetically speaking the words of Jesus to seven churches, the seven churches in Asia Minor. And they were each probably about as old as we are, 40, 50, 60 years by that time. And he's sharing Christ's thoughts on these churches. And prophetically, there's so much more to be understood about each of those churches and what they represent. It's many different layers in terms of prophetic understanding of those churches. But there is just the factual and historical information about those churches. Each of them had been around, operating, like I said, for 40 or 50 years. And after Christ's words to each of them, he says to each one these two things. He says, basically an encouragement to be victorious. Endure and be victorious. That's his encouragement to them. And the other thing is, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Two messages. Be victorious and listen to what the Spirit is saying. If you have ears to hear, listen to what the Spirit is saying. And personally, I know that that has been our desire throughout our history, is that we would be listening to what the Lord is saying. We would be listening to what the Holy Spirit is speaking to us in all humility, knowing that every time along the way throughout our history, there's humans involved, and there's all kinds of dynamics at play, and people are legitimately, I think, desiring to be responsive and obedient to the Spirit and what the Spirit is saying. Having said that, it is also true that we are human and our flesh shows up and has an impact on our lives, obviously, on the community of faith that we call Langley Vineyard, and that is part of our history as well. So, about our history, There we are. That's about 1986, 1987. Way back. You notice we don't even have that big pole in our parking lot and the Christmas tree looking thing. That's all ivy, actually, growing up around that pole. But that's what we looked like about 40 years ago. And a little bit about our history. In the first 10 years, God used the vineyard and Langley Vineyard in particular in a mighty and powerful way. And I know I'm speaking to many of you who were here in those first 10 years because I wasn't. So I'm going by stories, personal conversations, dialogues that I've had with people all along the way. But there were conferences that were where people were being equipped. There was worship that was being written and taking place and recorded throughout all those years. There was manifest kingdom works that were taking place, and there was a growing level of influence, not just within the local area, but across Canada and across the world. It's who we were. That is our history. There's just a snippet of some of our CDs and those who were here and their CDs that were produced. It's probably 10 at least, if not more. Father's House, we did a whole play. This incredible story, incredibly impacting to so many people. You all were here then. On top of worship, there was also a number of churches that were planted out of Langley Vineyard. And there came a particular stage where there was a big thrust out into different communities within Metro Vancouver. And these were just some of the churches that came into existence through this place. That also is our history. So in many ways, you can see we have a deep, rich history of God using us and being here. And His presence is manifest in this place and through us. It's not the building. It's not the building, right? I just wanted to make that clear. It's this place. It's who we are as a community of faith. That said, those were the first 10 years. And I also want to say that one of the things that I did when I first came on staff here was I read through every page of minutes that we had in this place and the decisions that were made and why those decisions were made and what the consequences of those decisions were. And I can tell you that in many times those decisions would we make them again today? Would we make those same decisions? I don't think so. And I'm not saying that to be critical. I'm saying because through our life and through experiences, we realize that, you know what? I'm a little older, I'm a little wiser, and I'm not sure if I'd have made the same decisions that I made 20 years ago. But we live with the consequences, and God's faithfulness is such that He desires to bring about what He wants to see in this place. And so sometimes it gets a little longer, but He is good. So the next 10 years, 94 to basically 2004, were probably the beginning decade and probably the next decade. But certainly this decade was a decade that was tremendously challenging for us here. We went through three major leadership transitions in 10 years. That has had an incredible impact on each of us. And to go through that kind of transition is jarring, it's disorientating, it's vision upon new vision, upon old vision, upon the next thing, and it made it very, very difficult for people to be oriented, to be aware of what's going on in the place. Where are we going now? This is the new initiative. Oh my goodness, it's just blurring. And it's confusing and challenging. And again, something else that had a huge impact on us. Mike, if you can press escape. Oh, I can do this. It's okay. Don't worry about it. You don't have to do a thing. Okay. And then one sec. Sorry, everybody. You just got to go through getting dizzy over this whole thing here again. Oh. Sorry. Go. That go over there now. Okay. So that whole 10 years of transition. New people, new leaders with new vision had a real impact on our community. It was devastating and actually decimated us. And this is kind of one of those times where I think, would we have made some of those same decisions? Probably not, I don't think. Not if we know now what we... Not if we knew then what we know now. And so who remained at various stages after each of those transitions? Because some people stay, some people move on just because it's too much. It really kind of put us into the next stage of a wilderness period. And there was also much that we had to learn. And over the next 10 years, basically, we were having to really rethink a lot of things, really press into hearing, you know, God, why would you take us through all this? Where is it leading to? And it's kind of challenging. And I'm saying this not to discourage you. I think it's important for us to be real about where we've come from. Because we need to understand what our history is. We need to understand what our experiences have been so that we truly understand how God has used it to shape us in the time and place that we're in right now. And so he used it definitely as a transforming time for us as well. Individually, as a community, our place within the Vineyard community, we aren't who we thought we were. And I'll tell you this right now, just my assessment in my role and place as we've been along, and I'm not speaking on behalf of the rest of the elders, I'm speaking for what I was a part of and decisions that I made. We were arrogant in many ways and lacked humility. But God still was faithful and was taking us through a journey of transformation. The next 10 years have basically been reconnecting with much of what I think God's heart was and is for this place. It's just we're getting attuned to what he was wanting. You know, that whole kind of tuning ourselves to the oboe and, you know, that whole analogy. We had to retune ourselves. And there are things that we needed to let go of, and there are things that we needed to pick up again. We had laid down a lot of mercy ministry. We had laid down, and I think for a season, God removed, not removed worship from us, but the place of office in worship that we held, which was at quite a level. And there is something about rediscovering what he was wanting us to rediscover in intimacy with him and relationship with him and in the context of being together. And so all of these things over the last several years, we've really kind of been picking up through the years and have really established a value for. One of the things in particular, for sure, is our impact and influence within the community. I want you to know that we have great favor in the community. We have great favor with the homeless. I remember one day the Lord said to me, Leith, he said, it doesn't matter what it looks like on the outside or the inside, the least have given the Langley Vineyard favor because you've been faithful in doing these things. The poor is very, very close to God's heart. I remember one time I was walking into the church, I put my hand on the door, and the Lord said to me, Leith, the world knows who Langley Vineyard is, but your neighbors and your community don't have a clue who you are. That was very early on. So these were things that we have been growing in and kind of having reestablish. And our priorities coming into 2022 and 2023 have been very simple. There's kind of four things primarily we've been working on. One is just eyes on Jesus. Eyes on Jesus, focusing on Jesus. Last year, it says, Life of Jesus. So we did From the Cradle to the Cross. This year, we studied the life of Jesus, right from the cradle to the cross, the ways of Jesus. It's, this past year, we did spiritual disciplines and spiritual practices. Not because there are things we do, but because there are practices that help us grow and mature in our relationship with Him. It's not a religious act. It's out of a desire to be intimate with Him and to grow in relationship with Him. There's a couple other things we've been focusing on. It's the KISS method, keep Sunday simple. And we have a desire for kids in this place. I know we're somewhat absent of them, but you know what? Let's keep praying for them because they're a vital part of our community. They may not be here yet, but that matters not because as we engage with our community, as we kind of fulfill and walk out His calling for us, they're going to come. They may not be here now, but they're going to come. We've actually been working on a sound and kind of gathering, like making Sunday consistent. You would not know it because I was running back and forth here. It's more of we're trying to take some strides in other ways that we're learning to do. But we want Sunday to be consistent, like a little stress-free without all the kind of angst. So we've been actually really been trying to make things solid, consistent. We got a new sound system. We're getting a new projector. We're working with Reg on that. Just a number of things that make it a little easier to experience our gatherings kind of stress-free, a little more consistent. And then socially, just sharing meals together with each other in gathered settings. It's an awesome thing, and we had 2 weeks just already in September where we were able to hang out with each other and have a barbecue and share a burger, and then Ray and Tina were married last week. Where are they? There they are. Isn't that awesome? And so we were able to celebrate with them. And so that was awesome. And then there's some organizational stuff that we've been working on. And so as we get into things now, I want to kind of bring you up to speed with what's next? Where are we going? What's coming down the pipeline? Well, this actually is a pretty good synopsis of areas that we've been looking at. We have to ask these questions. Where have we been? What's our history? We have to look at where we are now. Where do we feel called to go? And how are we going to get there? How will we get there? And we can plan for some things and discern where the Spirit's leading us and what those next steps are. And that's really what we're trying to do. And so we all need to be kind of doing that on some level. So this past summer, actually, the elders met with Vineyard Canada, and we had a guy by the name of Melt come from Vineyard Canada Resource, and he actually pastors the Yellowknife Vineyard, and he actually has written a PhD on transition and change. And we thought this is a tremendous opportunity to take advantage of that kind of skill and wisdom. And he's been involved in other places within Vineyard Canada. And so we met for 3 days in July, this past July, and spent some time with him. And it was very, very helpful. We were just having conversation about what's next. How do we walk through this next season? See, we don't want to make the same mistakes that maybe we've made in the past. We don't want to rush. We want to be open to what the Spirit is saying and where God's leading us and how He is. And so part of our learning, I think, is not trying to do it on our own. Not trying to think that we have all the resources within our capacity to make all of these decisions. It's helpful to go outside, just like it is in life. You ask family, you ask kind of mom and dad still, you ask friends, people who are skilled in these areas, and it really helps. So that's what we were desiring to do. And so out of that was a bit of an assessment that we did. And we just looked at health, what's working, what's not working, what's going well, what's not going well, where could we do better, where do we want to do better, what would we like to see? And this was just within the group of elders. And there's more, I'll get into this later, but there's more input that's going to come. And so we talked about all those things. And I'd say pretty much that's where we're at right now. We're kind of between where are we now and where do we feel called to go? That's roughly an idea of, I think, where we're at. And so we've gone through that process, and we've kind of answered some questions about our past. We have a pretty good understanding about where we are at the moment. What we need to be looking at is, where do we feel called to go? And that's really a lot of what we talked with Melt about and what we see taking place. And in the assessment, when you look and see where you need to go, and then you look at how we get there, there's always that kind of needs analysis. There's a gap there. You got to understand, okay, well, what's missing? What don't we have in our, you know, toolkit? And how do we get that? And how do we walk with that? So that's all part of answering that next question is, well, how do we get there? And how do we get there is the question. And like I said, we don't want to make assumptions. We don't want to be operating in our own, yeah, we've done it. You know what? There's enough biblical precedents of kings who have reigned for 45 years. And, you know, Josiah was one of those where he reigned for 45 years. And after 45 years, if it was me, quite honestly, I'd like put my hands up with Josiah to go, yeah, sure, I would have made that call. Josiah, 45 years into his reign, he's looking at invasion from other kingdoms and countries, and he goes, well, this is what we got to do, and we're going to do this, we're going to do this, we're going to do this. And he makes alliances over here and shores up some kind of relationships over here, and then he ends up getting disciplined by the Lord because the Lord said to him, Josiah, as a child, you knew better what to do than you do as a king today. Josiah was in the same situation when he first came in, and he sought the Lord, and he sought the wisdom of his counselors, and he was chastised. He was disciplined by the Lord. And so we need to be open-handed before the Lord in this whole process, and that's how we're trying to be. So there is change ahead. We are changing. Individually, we're changing. As a community, we change as a result. And there's also the community around us is changing. There's changing taking place all around us and within us. The city is changing. The people in this city in Langley are changing. Langley has grown by about 20,000 people over the last several years. 20,000 people. And it's not slowing down. There were 4,000 immigrants that came and moved into Langley just last year. And that's continuing. In the next 2 to 3 years, there's going to be 1,500 new homes built in Langley City alone within the 3-block radius of where we are. In the next 5 to 7 years, there's going to be an additional 2,000 to 3,000 homes. This is not speculation. These are, like, there are development plans, 12-story buildings, 8-story buildings, 7-story buildings, 6-story buildings, townhouses, condominiums, accommodating growth, SkyTrain is coming in. All of that has an impact on what's going to take place around us, and it's going to impact our community. Are we ready? And so these are some of the questions that we're asking. See, I know there's going to be families coming because there are families coming into Langley. How are we prepared? So we're in this season of preparation. We have to acknowledge that this is where we're at. We're in a season of preparation. So what are our next steps? Well, this is where we were last year and into this year. All of those are great. And actually, what I would say is we just need to press in more into some of those things, most of those things. Keeping our eyes on Jesus, worship, prayer, kids, planning for those things, engaging with each other, gathering, organizational stuff. I'm not sure if you've noticed, but we're not the most organized group. We're very, you know, I don't want to say organic, because even organics are very, very structured. So that's kind of, you know, that's, I think, a real compliment, saying we're very organic, because there's a lot of great structure in organism and nature and how the way God's designed things, it's all so intricate. So I wouldn't say we're there, but there's organizational stuff for us to take care of. So part of the outcome of our gathering together was just, again, saying, what's ahead of us, and how can we begin to prepare to plan? What steps do we need to begin to take? One of the things that we recognize that just within our organization and input and the way things have changed within our eldership, with my role here, and needs that we have elsewhere, we need to expand the circle of input. And these are some functional, operational things that it's just good to have input. And as a group of elders, we're not always there. We try to be, but there's more that we need to. We're all a bunch of 60-plus-year-old males, white males. It's not a good, you know, broad scope. So we recognize we need to expand this. And so that's part of what we want to do. And so that's one of the things that we're stepping into. The other thing is we need to increase and grow in our involvement and our engagement with what God has put before us and given us. That's an invitation. We need to increase our involvement and engagement with what God has put in our hands and what He has given us. I'll give you a small example. And again, this is not criticizing, it's saying we need to go deeper in some areas. We have on a weekly basis, and I'm gonna use this as an example, we have on a weekly basis 200 people plus that come in once a week within our community. They come right in this room here, and they pick up food, which comes from Costco and IGA and Cobb's and a pizza place. We probably give away 300 pizzas a week, Wednesday morning, every week. There are new immigrants. There are refugees that are coming in. There is the homeless that is here. There are seniors that are here. There are people who are on fixed disability income, and it's like families like crazy. And they're coming right into our place, and they're being fed physically. But what more could we do? What opportunities is the Lord putting before us with all these individuals that are coming in once a week? And then every night of the week, except for one, we have another meal that takes place outside. And these have been tremendous opportunities to actually impact our community, to engage, to say, God loves you and he cares about your place and we're going to take care of these things. But what are the other opportunities that we have before us? And because we may not be asking the question is not a reason to not start. We need to start. We need to ask ourselves those questions because it's what the Lord has placed in our hands. And like the stewards who were given one talent or three talents or five talents, we have to look at what he's placed in our hands and we have to say, what do you want us to do? We need to steward this. And so that's one of these things is stewarding our resources, involving and engaging. We have to get engaged. The other thing is leadership. 94 to 04, it's a decade that I think should be forgotten in many respects. But I say this, we don't want to repeat this. So we have to be honest, we have to be realistic, and we have to say there is leadership transition that needs to begin to take place on some level. We need to bring new people in, and some people need to transition. I'm going to have to transition at some point. Paul's going to have to transition at some point. Dave's going to have to transition. We're all 60 plus. But we can't do that right away because we have to be wise in how it's done. We have to have eyes to see. And we have to be training people up so that they understand who we are, where we've come from, how God has shaped us, so that there is an easy transition, as easy as possible. We set ourselves up for that. That's just wise. That's just smart. So that is another whole thing that we have to have conversations about, we need to get input on, so all these things are happening. And then four, we need to steward our resources. What do we have? What do we have? God has been very good, and thankfully, I think we've been wise with how we've been stewarding our resources and looking for ways to actually use our building, which is one of the greatest physical assets that we have, so that it supports our ministry. Because just so you know, all of us here financially don't make this thing work. For starters, he's the one that makes it work. God is, truly. For the last 25 years, he's the only one that has made this work. And words tell a story, but so do finances. And if you ever want to read a great book, all you have to do is sit down and read through our financial books, and it will tell you an incredible story of God's faithfulness and generosity and kindness towards us. That being said, we've got Theater in the Country that's been here for 5 years. We have other organizations that Night Shift is, paying us rent for things. We have a parking lot that we lease in many aspects, and it supports tremendously. What more can we be doing? So these are things that we need to continue to do, right? And I'm going to close on that. That's our new logo. And what we've tried to do is encapsulate a little bit of our history with a little bit of what his purpose is for us, which is we want to be transformed into his image, and we recognize God's hand on us. I'm not sure if that's rubble. Well, I could say that's a bit of rubble, a little bit of ground, a little bit of manure, a whole bunch of stuff that makes things grow, and it's awesome. But we want to be fruitful in all that we do, and we want to see Jesus formed in people. That's our vision. We want to see it for ourselves, and we want to see it for each other. And then the circle actually represents the world. We want to be impacting and having an influence to the world around us. So, I hope that helps. Like I said, our desire was to kind of help fill in the gaps of where we've come from and who we are as a vineyard, but this was to kind of center on a little bit more who we are as Langley Vineyard, a little bit of our history, and where we're going, and what's next, and what's coming down the pipeline, just so that y'all know. Starting next week, what we're going to do is we're starting a whole series on building blocks for the church. And the church is God's plan to reach the world and to reveal himself to the world. And so we all play a critical part in that, role in that. And so we want to talk about what are the core building blocks that he has equipped the church with to be able to accomplish that. So we're going to start that, and that's basically going to be our fall series, and we're going to go through that for the next eight, nine weeks. Amen? Does that help? I hope I didn't bore you. Okay, awesome. Let's pray, and then we can be off. Father, I thank you for your gracious love towards us. I thank you that you have ordained a plan for us as a community, as your church, as your bride, as one part of your bride. I thank you for each one here that you have gathered here. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would continue to impart to us both individually and as a group, a gathered group, a real vision and understanding of your love for us, your plans for us, the things that you are calling us to, so that we can reflect the beauty of who you are to the world around us. I ask, Lord, that you would just make this manifest to us. I ask that your light and your love and your presence would so shine that we would just that we would manifest your glory wherever we are, that we would see your kingdom come, that we would see the fruit of your kingdom in our midst in an ever more increasing way. Amen. Amen. Thank you.